Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tears will dim the eyes. At the end of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. But I know
over the years, I have been preaching the way of salvation to many people. And when you get to talking to unbelievers, regardless of what religion they come from, they seem to have that incredible respect for their religion, even though they will talk against it. I have seen this so many times. The people will spend hours talking about the wrongs of their religious systems, and when you try to tell them the problem, they quickly jump to their religion's defense. And I know there are many of you that know what I'm talking about. You talk to a person who comes from a religious system who is not a Christian. You listen to him for a while and he will rattle on and on and on about the problems that is going on in their religion. But then you try to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow their eyes glaze over and they start to protect the very religion they for the last hour have been condemning. What is that? This is their minds being blinded by Satan and their ears being covered by demonic hands. That's what it is. So we need to seek the Lord and ask him how to get through those to those people, because the Bible teaches us great is the mystery of godliness. You people cannot receive it until they look for it from a heart that wants the truth. Regardless how you study scripture, the Bible will always bring you back to the heart issue. It's the heart that fails to meet the qualifications that God wants before he can open your eyes to salvation. So today I will again bring clarity to the message of salvation through Scripture. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, Lord. You will open people's hearts. You will anoint this message so that people can understand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we have left, because we are fast running out of time. Give us the grace and the ability to bring forth your saving grace. We thank you, Lord God, for this awesome message. In Jesus' name, amen. When one studies the Word of God, it doesn't take long before you find out the depravity of man's hearts. Regardless which people you're talking about, from which nation or which religion, there is this inner pride that a person doesn't want to put aside. We remember the sacrifices that Cain and Abel brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain's sacrifice was rejected, and Abel's sacrifice was accepted. The difference between the two is Abel brought a sacrificial lamb, which the Lord required. And Cain brought the work of his hands. He brought something that he worked for, and God rejected him. So this is exactly the problem that we have today in all of the world. When you study different religions, you can see the incredible sacrifices those people bring to their gods. Look at what the Muslims are doing. Many of them are very stringent. They pray 5 times a day. They read the Quran, they memorize the Quran, and that's to them, it's something that they have to do, and it becomes an obsession. When you study the religions of the Old Testament, you can see very clearly the harshness of the gods of those people. They would demand child sacrifice. People would bring their children to be sacrificed to them. And when the Jewish people did that, God said to the Israelites, "This has never even entered my mind or my heart that I would ask of you to bring your child to be sacrificed to me." When you study books on Christians that have come out of the occult, it seems like as one, they all drink blood and they all lean towards human sacrifice. That is something unimaginable, but it's going on in the world today. And we need to be careful that our children are not caught up in this web of deceit. We need to turn to the sacrificial lamb that God has given to us. Because if we will not, then the spirit of deception will overtake our loved ones. It tells us in Psalm chapter 4, verse 2. It tells us, O you sons of man, how long will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. What are the sacrifices of righteousness? In the Old Testament, people had to bring a lamb. We know that Abel brought a lamb and he was accepted. He sacrificed it to God. And Cain brought the fruit and the work of his own hands. And he was rejected. And this is exactly what is happening to the religious world today. Religious people bring the fruit of their own labor to the Lord God for sacrifice. And this is why the Lord God is saying, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Trying to attain eternal life and to get into the kingdom of God by some religious act that you are doing is a falsehood and is worthless. The Lord wants sacrifices of righteousness. He wants you to turn to the only real and right sacrifice, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Word of God prescribes. In Psalm chapter 25, in verse 14, it tells us, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I have known people who would spend all their life trying to live godly lives according to their religions, according to the precepts of their religions. And it is so deceptive because people in their pride can walk very religiously. I have seen it in my life in the way they dress, in the way they talk, in the way they operate. It seems as if there is no sin in their life. Anyways, not from a human standpoint of view. I myself remember an incident with a person that lived a very godly life according to what we could see. And I started to ask him what brought eternal life. And he went through all his religious obligations. If I would tell you over the air what those religious obligations were, some of you who do not come from that religion would simply laugh and wonder how ignorant people can be. But that person took it very serious. And in the end, I asked him, what about the blood of Jesus? What has that got to do with your salvation? And the person said, oh, that too. You gotta have that on top of everything else. So they mix everything together. No, it's not mixed together. The blood of Jesus stands by itself. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except for the name Jesus, not some religious ideology. So the deception is far greater in a person that has the ability to live a religious life. A person who lives in sin, who knows that he is a sinner, at least that person knows that he fails. And to them, you can talk and they will listen. But a person who is proud in his religion, that person is hard to reach. And it needs the power of the Holy Spirit to break that religious spirit. I have dealt with evil spirits throughout my ministry. I have cast out devils from people. But there is one spirit that does not seem to respect authority, and that's the religious spirit. It simply does not budge. When we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he came upon demon-possessed people, the demons would scream out and ask that God does not torment them. But when he came up against the demonic religious Pharisees, that's where Jesus was powerless. He could not drive those demons out. Why? Because the people who had them, the people who were full of those devils, welcomed them in and would not let them go. They have become part of their nature. This is what a religious demon is. It becomes the personality of the person who is religious. Yes, when we talk to them, you can understand them and you can feel them. And you know in your heart there is not much you can do about them, because they have become so identified with the person that they're in that they have become one. Yes, when you look at religious preachers, don't look at the person. Look at the devil that's driving him, and you will see the source of the problem. One day, the Lord is going to come back, and then everything will be revealed. Religious devils will have to separate themselves from the person that they have occupied for so long, and that poor person will then stand naked and alone before the judgment bar of God. All his religion will be gone. He will stand totally naked and ashamed. But today there is hope yet for the person who has a religious demon. You turn to the Lord. You take a look at scriptures. Demons cannot force you not to read scriptures. You got a choice that you can make. And if you will against your will, because a lot of your will is in the devil that has become part of your nature. A lot of your will is there. But you can make a decision to read scripture, study it, and God will open your eyes to the truth. This is what happened to me. I forced myself to read scripture. I knew I was influenced by evil spirits. I knew I was looking for all the pleasures that were available to me at that time in my life. But I forced myself to read scripture because I know somewhere in the future there was a judgment day. And one day, while reading those scriptures, God opened my heart to the truth, and the flood of revelation brought freedom and joy. And from then on, the eternity that God promises to them that turn to Him became mine. And I know for a fact that I will be rejoicing in that truth throughout eternity. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Christ was crucified, and for me He died, so from sin's bondage I could be free. Then He rose again, He's at the Father's right hand, interceding for my every need. I'm glad to know that I know Jesus. I am His and He is mine, and it gives me peace of mind just to know He'll be waiting for me. When I cross Jerry Jordan someday,
studies the Word of God on the seriousness of turning to the Lord for salvation, you can very clearly find that Scripture is very adamant about a person turning to the Lord, because the Bible declares the lake of fire a very horrifying place of separation from God. And God sent His only begotten Son to be the sacrificial lamb for the whole world. This is how serious it is. If for God to do something like that, a person needs to pay attention, because we know for a fact that the Lord would not do this unless it would be dead serious. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, there is an interesting scripture that is talking to the Israelites about straying away from their God. It says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So this is how serious God makes it in the Old Testament. You had to kill your own friend and even your wife or any of your family if they even suggested to you to go and worship another god. So when one studies different churches of North America by listening to their pastors on the seriousness of the situation, we can clearly see that many are not even moved by those serious scriptures found in the Old Testament. Many seem to have this casual outlook on the lake of fire. Nobody preaches on it. Many come to the conclusion that we should have user-friendly churches, that we should somehow try to agree with other faiths. No, God has given us a very serious commission to preach the grace of God and also to preach the judgment of God. The Bible teaches us something very interesting in Psalm 37. In verse 9, it tells us, "For the evildoers shall be cut off, but these who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you shall look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So this is very clearly written here. There is going to come a time when the person who doesn't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ will be simply cut off and will not be in remembrance anymore. This is how serious the Word of God is speaking about the way of salvation. So for those of you who are listening, don't try to be user-friendly with your neighbor. Tell him of the judgments that are going to come. Tell him of the grace of God. Don't try to pussyfoot around the subject and keep friends with your neighbors. Because one day that neighbor or friend will curse you because you have not warned him about the seriousness of the situation. For those of you who are listening today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us, look for the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Tomorrow could be forever too late. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the pardon that he so freely extends to you today. It is today that you have to do it, because tomorrow could be forever too late. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.